Hello, Twins fans. This is John Swole from TwinsTrivia.com, and I would like to welcome you to yet another interview with a player from the Twins' wonderful past. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with former Twins infielder Frank Castro. Frank was traded to Minnesota as part of a three-team deal that included the Twins, the Angels, and the Cleveland Indians in June of 1964, and Frank played with the Twins through the 1969 season. So let's jump right in and get started.
Okay, Frank, you grew up in Pennsylvania. What sports did you play at Forbes High School?
Forbes High School, I played baseball and basketball and football.
What did you enjoy the most?
Well, as far as the games were concerned, I enjoyed probably football, the games, the practices. I didn't particularly care for the practice of football, but in fact, I went to the University of Michigan on the football and basketball scholarship.
Okay. And what kind of career did you have there?
Well, actually, I just ended up, my dad got hurt in a, he was a coal miner, and he got hurt in a coal mining accident, and I dropped out of school and went and signed with the Detroit Tigers.
Right, and that was one of my questions, was that you signed as a free agent with the Tigers, and, you know, and I was kind of wondering, because you seemed to sign with them pretty early, and I was just wondering what the reason was, and you just told me.
Yeah, uh-huh.
How did, was your dad okay?
He ended up, he couldn't go back to work in the mines anymore, and so he ended up, when I was with the Tigers, he moved out to Detroit and got a job with Ford Motor Company.
I'll be darned. What do you remember about signing with the Tigers?
Well, I remember Cy Williams and Ed Catalinas were the two guys that signed me, and probably more so Cy Williams, and the guy that signed me also signed Andy Costco. If you remember him. And Cy just passed away a few years ago. He was something like 60 years in professional baseball.
Wow.
And so I kind of liked the Tigers. Just growing up, Tigers were like my favorite team, other than the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I see. I follow the Tigers, too, a little bit, because my wife's from Saginaw, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And so it's kind of interesting. They're a pretty nice team, too. You played in over 800 games in the minors over, I think, seven seasons before finally getting called up to the majors.
Right.
Did it ever cross your mind that you would never get called up?
Well, you know, at the beginning it did. And then all of a sudden I was playing with a number of guys where all of a sudden they got called up. And I thought I was having played as well as they did, or better, or close anyway, and so I figured, well, maybe my turn will come. But back in those days, we didn't have as many teams.
Sure.
And it's kind of like you would, we had a lot of guys that stayed in the minors for a long time and never made it to the big leagues, and they were definitely big league caliber players.
Yeah, it was a lot tougher when you had fewer teams, for sure. At the age of 24, on September 2nd, 1962, you made your major league debut at Tiger Stadium against the White Sox as a pinch hitter, and I think you struck out against Eddie Fisher.
Yeah, I did.
Who, if I remember correctly, he was a knuckleball pitcher.
He was a knuckleball pitcher.
What are your thoughts and memories of your big league debut?
Well, I do remember that, and then I got to be real close friends with the Cinch. I still see Eddie Fisher quite a bit, and he didn't remember it, but I reminded him that the slider that he threw me that struck out was about a foot outside. So anyway, that was it. But what I do remember is my first hit off of Jim Cobb.
Yeah, that was a double to right field, if my information's correct.
That is exactly right. And I keep, when I see Cotton, I say, how could you throw me that sinker down and away?
Kind of ironic that it would be off of Jim Cott, who, you know, would be your teammate.
Right.
You know, not too much longer. Do you still have that ball off your first hit?
No, you know what, I wish I would, but I did have it, but no, I do not have it.
I see. In 1963, you started the season with the Tigers, but in June you were traded to the Angels. What did you think of being traded?
Well, at the time, like I said, the Tigers were my favorite team growing up, and I was kind of hoping to hopefully get a chance to play a lot more with the Tigers. But when I went to the Angels, it was just a little shock. Mm-hmm. Dick Wojtek and I went to the Angels, and then George Thomas and some cash, I think, came to the Tigers. But I thought I'd have a chance to play there, but it seems like I never got hurt in my whole life, and then when I started getting hurt, it seemed like it happened way too often.
After spending roughly a year with the Angels, you were again traded. This time you were part of a big three-team deal with the Angels, the Indians, and the Twins.
Right.
And you ended up in Minnesota in June of 64. How did you view that trade?
Well, when I got there and when I got with the Twins, even looking back on it, that was probably the best thing that happened to me for other reasons other than making a lot of friends with the Twins. But that was... just had a lot of great guys in our ball club, a lot of great guys, and so it was, looking back, it was great memories.
Okay. With the Twins, you played some third base, second, first, and a little outfield. What do you remember about that first season in Minnesota under manager Sam Mealy?
I remember him as being probably one of my favorite managers, and he was probably... again, like I said, I played, like you said, I played a number of positions, but what I remember about Mealy being that, Don Mincher would say probably the same thing, and he and I were kind of the right-handed pinch hitter and left-handed pinch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Mealy was the kind of guy who would call you, come up to you at the inning before and say, okay, if this is a situation you're going to hit, if this is a situation you're going to hit, as far as Mitch and I. And, you know, that made it, and I felt because of that, gave you some chance to get ready in your mind that you may be coming up pinch hitting and you're getting ready for it. And I thought because of that, I think I end up, I don't know, I had quite a few pinch hits that year.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense if you can get a little bit better prepared that you would do better.
Yeah, that's what maybe I just thought was all around just a good manager.
Okay. You spent the early part of 1965 with the Twins, but only played in about 20 games before being sent down. What do you remember about that championship season?
The same thing. I remember that it's the same thing. I think I played, like you said, I don't think I played too many games, and I think I pitched it a few times. But I do remember being on a real good ball club, and again, I can't remember if I pulled a muscle or I stepped up first. Something happened that I got hurt, and then I couldn't play for a while, and the next thing I know, they... sent me out, and I think I went to Seattle.
Okay. What did you end up getting a World Series share?
Yeah, I got a ring and a. I think if my check was correct, I think it was like $2,600 or something. It's two thirds of a share. I think it was two thirds of the year I was here.
Okay, and. Yeah, it's the price, the money they get for the postseason nowadays is a whole lot more.
I saw the other day that the loser's share was $290 or something like that.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
It's crazy. You spent all of 1966 in AAA with Denver. How frustrating was that for you?
Well, actually, it was kind of nice because I live in Denver. That was kind of nice to be in Denver, but it was frustrating not to be in the big leagues at that time. And it was just a matter of having a good year and getting back up there. In fact, I think that the following year, or that year, I think Rich Reese was with me in Denver. And I think the following year we both were the right-handed, left-handed pinch hitter with the Twins. In fact, I think the following year was the best year I had in the big leagues.
Yeah, and in 67, I think you spent a big portion of the season in Minnesota, but you only appeared in 32 games.
Right.
And that was when you were primarily as a pinch hitter then?
Right. Uh-huh.
1968, you spent the entire season with the Twins, and that was your first and only season that I think you played the entire season in the big leagues. How difficult is that for a ball player to be constantly on the edge of the big leagues and the minor leagues, and how does that affect your family?
Well, it definitely, looking back on it, at the time, I think that's just part of being in the minors and in the big leagues and going back and forth and what have you. But looking back on it, it definitely was rough on the family. Very, very tough on the family. But at the time, I just thought that was just part of life.
And
in professional baseball.
And this may be kind of a silly question, but not looking at it from a money perspective, what would a ball player like yourself rather do? Would you rather play in the minors or sit on the bench in the big leagues?
Sit on the bench in the big leagues, definitely.
have it quite a bit better there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
In 1969, you again found yourself in Denver and only appeared in two games for the Twins in September. What happened that year?
That's the year I had my foot operated on. And the two games, I should not even have been in there because I did hit a ball, I think it was against the Angels, which should have been a base hit. But I couldn't have my foot operated. I think I took about two or three steps out of the batter's box and fell down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when that was the end of my career as far as in the United States. It's just when I had my foot operated on. It never did come back.
Hmm. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
You were only with the Twins a short time there in 69, but what was it like to play for Billy Martin?
To be truthful with you, I would just as soon not answer that question.
Okay, that's not a problem.
If you can't say something good about somebody, you got to just pass on.
Yeah, I understand.
But on his behalf, though, he was probably one of the better managers as far as handling pitchers that I was around. So yeah. I'm saying the good part about him.
Okay. After the 69 season, you decided to play in Japan. What brought that on, and how did you come into that situation?
Well, they contacted me, and then they bought me from the Twins. I don't know exactly what they paid for me, but they bought me from the Twins because I was through playing here because of my foot. And the Japanese, they know more about the American players back in those, they probably still do, than we did here. They knew all about my foot. They knew all about the injury. And so they flew me to Los Angeles to have their own doctor check my foot out. So evidently he sent a report that I could send me over there or sign me and go over there and they could work on my foot and then I could still play. So that's what happened, and I went to Japan, and I think the main reason that I went there, because my foot really would still bother me, but they seemed to think that I could pay to play, and they offered me, you know, here I think the most I made, my salary and bonus, or bonus in World Series, I think I might have made $16,000. Well, they offered me $30,000. Tax-free.
Wow.
And that's what I said. So, I mean, I had to go because I wanted to start a business here in Denver, and I had no money. So when I went over there, it was kind of hard to turn down.
Yeah, boy, that is hard to pass up. What's it like playing in Japan? Is it difficult to play baseball in a country where you don't understand the language?
Well, I'll tell you what. Everything on the baseball field is in English. So you figure they say ball one, strike one, or you know, you're out and all that, you figure they can speak English, but they can't. That's all they can do. But as far as the language, I had an interpreter that traveled with me.
Well,
so, but it was still difficult, that part. And again, the most difficult part was for the family. They didn't have an interpreter. I did.
I was going to ask you, did your family go over there with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went over there. I played winter ball here a number of years, and in winter ball, they're always, you know, if you're supposed to make $1,000, it seems like they're trying to give you $800. I mean, so I expected that in Japan. In Japan, it's just the opposite. they do everything to make you happy.
Wow.
They wanted me to stay there for another year, and I had enough money to save now to start my business in Colorado, in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to, so I thought they'd be upset with me. Well, what they did, they met me at the airport and gave me and my wife all kind of pearls.
Oh.
Her pearl necklace and me a pearl ring and a tie clasp.
I'll be darned.
And just the way they are. They were, they were very, very fair.
What kind of stats did you put up there?
You know what? I got a thing here probably about a year ago from a guy, and I don't have it with me. But again, I was playing. I think they had me over. I wonder if I'd play every day, and they had me over there mostly to pinch it. But I remember that I had some pretty good stats. I don't think I hit too many, but I never hit too many home runs anyway, and even in the minor leagues. But I think I had some pretty good stats, but I can't remember exactly what they were.
Okay.
Well, it must have been halfway decent because they wanted me back another year.
Absolutely. You played in Japan when home run slugger Sato Hiro Ohh was playing. What do you remember about him?
Well, let me tell you. He was in a different league than I was.
Okay.
He would have been a very good ball player here. He would not have hit that many home runs here, I don't think. But he definitely would have hit for an average. He was just a good ball player. But I remember what I remember the most is he hollered at me one day. We were playing an exhibition game against him, introduced himself to me, and gave me his bat.
Wow, that was nice.
Well, I thought it was really nice. And I gave it to the bat boy. So that's the spot I was back at. I said, what do I want this bat for? Well, I'm looking back on it. I said, man, I wish I had kept that bat.
Yeah. It's still really nice to give it to the bat boy.
But I gave it to the bat boy, so he probably is retired now with that bat.
That's right. You walked away from baseball after the 1970 season with seven big league seasons under your belt.
Uh-huh.
And so why? You were only 32.
Well, I told you I had my foot operated on, and that's what I was through here, and I had my foot operated on, and because of that, I'm throwing one time I pulled out of my shoulder, so I couldn't throw. I had a rough time throwing safe from right field to the home plate on the fly.
Okay.
So those two injuries that took care of me, but like I said, the Japanese said, over there, the ballparks are a little bit shorter. I don't have to throw that far. And they could fix my foot, which never did come around.
With today's medical advances, would you have been able to have some surgery or something to get you back and playing again?
You know what? Possibly, but I really doubt it. They had to take some bones out and do all kind of stuff with my foot. It still bothers me after, say, playing golf.
Okay.
It just gets real, like the next morning I limp quite a bit, but it doesn't bother me for every day, whatever. I play handball 3 or 4 days a week, and it doesn't affect me whatsoever.
Hmm. What's your favorite baseball memory?
Well, I have a lot of them, but I think probably the two favorite is getting called for the big leagues.
Okay.
Okay, and then a first base hit.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Makes sense. Do you follow baseball today?
You know what, I follow the Twins, and I follow, other than that, I follow individuals. See how the Tigers, the large first baseman now, how he's hitting, or how certain guys pitching. The Twins, I kind of follow them. I got to meet and played a couple outings with Joe Mauer. I really follow him. I like him. He's just seems like just a good guy. And that way I follow, but I'm not. I took my grandson to a game here at the Rockies game last year for about 5 innings, and that's the first time I've been, and I get free tickets, which I come to find out. Bernie Allen told me, hey, he says, our stadium in the United States. I didn't know that.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah, and, but anyway, so after I found out, I didn't use it till I took my grandson to a game, and he's just turned eight, and so other than that, I don't go to too many games.
Okay.
I figured I'd watch enough of them when I was in the big leagues.
Yeah, I think back in 1965, you were one of the Twins that took a helicopter to get to Met Stadium due to some spring flooding we were having here. Do you remember?
Well, I didn't take the helicopter, but I remember the helicopter coming in. I did not take it, but I do remember that all that stuff. And then they had the helicopter come over, tried to dry the fill out.
Okay.
And do I remember all that? Yeah.
The Twins played in the Metrodome from 82 to 2009, but now they play in their beautiful new Target Field, and I was going to ask if you had a chance to see that, but sounds like you have.
Yeah, I did. We had a meeting up there. Again, we had Colossi Reese, Killebrew, myself, and then we had some kind of it was a fundraiser for the Killebrew Foundation, and then we had, we all got tickets to the game. We went to the game, and then afterwards we had again, the fundraiser banquet at the stadium. But I tell you one thing, that is at the downtown area. I was very impressed with what they did, and also with the stadium. What a great stadium that is.
It's a beautiful stadium.
Oh, very nice.
Beautiful. And you mentioned the Harmon Killebrew Foundation. I had read somewhere on the internet that you're one of the directors of Harmon's foundation. And can you tell us a little bit about Harmon and that foundation?
Well, Harmon's, they do a lot for this, like the Miracle Week, they were with kids that, handicaps or what have you. And if you saw this 2-minute tape, I mean, it's almost, I've seen it a number of times, and this is what Harmon raises a lot of money for this. And it's just, well, it's just the kind of guy Harmon is. He's just one first class individual. And he and I have been friends, well, since we played together. But also we have Rich Reese and Quillacy are also on the board. And it's just, well, nice to see those guys, talk to those guys all the time.
Yeah. And I did an interview with Frank, and Frank likes to talk, as you probably well know.
Oh, yeah.
And the interview ended up 2 hours.
I could understand that. You probably didn't even have to ask him a question.
Yeah, he loves to talk.
You know, he's a good guy. He's just a good guy. First class.
He is.
As is Harmon.
Yeah, and I've only met Harmon on, I think I was on WCCO radio on a couple of things, and so I got to meet him that way, but he seems like a really nice guy.
Very nice.
And Rich Reese, you know, I've been trying to track him down to do an interview, and it just sounds like he just doesn't do interviews.
Well, you know what, I think if you get up at the right time, he would do it, and in fact, I'll be talking to him here pretty soon. He didn't make, which I didn't, make the Killebrew, the tournament down in Arizona in November, I think. I think it was last month. And Rich Reese did not make it because I think he got a new knee or a new hip or something.
Hmm.
So, but I could mention it to him. He'd be, and then I think, well, give me your number anyway.
And I can do that in a little bit here.
Yeah.
You played at Met Stadium. How would you describe Met Stadium to someone who had never been there, say?
Well, as far as the stadium itself, I think it's one of the best stadiums, one of the better stadiums as far as to play in.
Mm-hmm.
The court, well, all the big fields are all in very good shape anyway, but just the whole stadium was just, it was just very nice. Very nice to play in.
Okay. Would your big league career, do you think, have turned out any different if you had played during the era of the DH?
I think so. And I guess that's me. Mm-hmm. I think it definitely would have
given you some more opportunities.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the DH?
Actually, I kind of like it.
Okay. what are your thoughts on the players that have been accused of taking steroids, et cetera? Do they belong in the Hall of Fame, the Palmeiros, the, you know, all those kind
of things? You know, to answer that, I'm going to go on what the other guys, the number of the other guys, some of the Hall of Famers and some of the other baseball players that's been active more so in the game as coaches and not so many managers, but a lot of my ex-teammates were coaches and stuff, and they say no, they should not be in the Hall of Fame. So I'm kind of go with them, although they do put up some numbers, because I know some of them, I watched them play before, probably before they took the steroids, and I think they would have been in the Hall of Fame without them.
Okay, I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe you're active in the MLB Alumni Association. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I've been, I'm active as far as now. I used to run a tournament here in Denver, but now I'm active as far as I play in a number of their functions, and they do a lot of good things as far as raising money for the, a lot of them are like Children's Hospital, stuff to do with children, and this is really nice. There's two ways to look at that. They raise a lot of money for the charities, but also I get to see a lot of the guys, and I got to be close friends with the guys I used to play with. I never knew during the playing days, played against them, but never talked to them, and now a lot of us are like real close friends.
Okay. In doing some research, I see that you're a very good golfer and a championship handball player.
I'm a pretty good handball player, but as far as a real good golfer, I think some of my guys may question you on that.
I
play a lot of golf.
I checked, looking on the internet, I see your picture out there, and you guys are posing with, the championship award.
Okay, well, I have some good partners in that.
Yeah, that sounds... So, how long have you played handball?
I started playing handball right at the end of my baseball career.
Okay.
So I've been playing, I had a layoff a couple of years, I had a little elbow problem, and had the Tommy John surgery, and now I'm back playing again.
Oh. So what does Frank Castro do today?
Well, right now, I'm kind of sold out of agency, an insurance agency, where I dealt with car dealers and some banks way back when. Mostly car dealers, mostly Colorado, Wyoming, some in Minnesota, California, Arizona. And I sold out years ago, and now I just kind of keep my office and have a place to go to.
Okay. So would you say you're retired?
Probably, I would say I'm 90% retired. I still do a little bit of business, but not much.
I see. So, Frank, thank you so much for your time today. Do you have any final thoughts for your fans back here in Minnesota?
Well, the only thing I could say is, without a doubt, they were, to this day, I still hear from people out of the blue, just like yourself. Mm-hmm. Which is great, and I think the Minnesota people were, I can't say, they're about as good as any place I've ever been. And it was also nice to say my name on a couple of the polls there outside the stadium, in the new stadium there in Minnesota.
Uh-huh. It certainly is.